Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 8, verses 41 through verse 56. The Reverend Dr. Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 8. And there came a man named Jairus, who was ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on the physicians, she could not be healed by any one. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear. Only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father of the mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We heard yesterday Chaplain Denzer begin his sermon talking about two pop Christian responses, one folks knew quite well. Everybody responded very quickly. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And the second, a lesser known one, "God is good all the time God is good." The first from Scripture and the second wasn't. Now, I'm not trying to be a contrarian in any way, but I often heard that phrase in East Africa, where I served for a number of years. Whether it was in the high school where I was a chaplain serving, or could be in the local congregation out up country, I would often hear that phrase, but it was rather interesting. The girls at the girls' school added a little bit more to it. "God is good all the time God is good, and that is his nature." Now, their little embellishment was, "Wow, God is wonderful." "But that's his nature, he is good," I think was their added aspect there that was helpful. Now, it's still not scripture, but nonetheless, in Africa, we often saw folks that would very much understand that death was always near. Perhaps we've lost that thought, and here in America, we don't see it so closely as they often did in East Africa, or perhaps the West Africa as well. Nonetheless, perhaps it even was a phrase that many of those in North America, those North American exports, that were not always beneficial in conveying biblical truth. Nevertheless, we have before us a wonderful text which shows us great suffering and hopelessness. Hopeless situations, these two folks. You have a woman who's been dealing with a blood issue for 12 years, and you have a father whose daughter is at death's door. We see situations where you have people that are in a hopeless situation, yet have hope fulfilled in Christ. He is the object of their faith, and they indeed seek him as the one to save them and help them in such dire need. Such a great faith we see in this woman with this discharge of blood for 12 years, suffering physically, spending her livelihood, all that she has, hoping in physicians to heal her, but they can't give her life. She's drained physically, financially. She's worse off than she was before. It's ironic, though, that St. Luke, a physician, would, the Spirit would inspire him to put this here. But again, we see where the hope might lie. It's in Christ, not in physicians. That even the limitation of practice of medicine is always has to take second fiddle to Jesus. But sadly, we see a woman dealing with chronic illness, suffering that she is enduring. She has heard, though, she has heard, as had others, the verse that was not there in our text. People were waiting for Jesus as he was coming, and there Jairus is the first one to step up and seek Jesus, as were the crowds, as were this woman. And she, like Jairus, she, like those around, were waiting for Jesus. And as the crowd pressed against Jesus, almost stifling him, she reaches out and touches that tassel. That's the word, tassel, right there on the end of Jesus' mantle. And power goes out from him. She didn't want the whole Christ. She didn't want all of him. All she does is reach out for that tassel. Just as the woman just longed for some crumbs from Jesus' table, this woman, that's all she needed of Jesus. Faith clings to the Lord of life, and she received immediate healing, life, and salvation. Just as Zechariah 8:20 would say, grasping the tassel to entreat the favor of Yahweh, that's what she did, and that's what she received. And Jesus, turning around, asking who touched him, Peter, of course, pipes in, how can you tell, Jesus? There are tons around you. But Jesus knew. And so she reveals herself, afraid, falling to the ground before him. And this daughter of Abraham is made well, healed, restored to life, going in peace. She indeed teaches us about faith in Christ as she places her hope in him, humbly trusting in the one who would heal her and give her life. Indeed, only by faith does one grasp the mystery that salvation and all of its ramifications through Jesus, the God made flesh, God with us, that it's found only in him. We, though, can often make other things object of our faith and trust and hope. Indeed, Luther talks about how our hearts are idle factories. We can make our work, our family, our health, our finances, there's a many multitude of things that we could put our trust in rather than Jesus. And this woman suffering so teaches us about whom we should place our trust in. And when we do trust in those other things, we're called to repent and turn to Christ and cling to him and him alone, laying hold of Jesus. Now, the scripture lesson began with Jesus heading to the house of Jairus, whose daughter was dying. She's at death's door. Jairus, this little girl, not quite 12, deathly ill, his only daughter, so young, a life about to be cut short, way too soon. And while Jesus is still speaking the words, daughter, to this woman who is cured of her 12-year illness, daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well, go in peace. And even before the words are finished, someone comes up, don't bother the master, your daughter is dead. We go from hope to sadness. It's too late. We go from hope-filled to hopeless so quickly. Such an emotional roller coaster, it's almost Good Friday-ish. But such does not stop the Lord of life. Don't fear, he says, only believe and she will be well. And so they go, and there they approach the professional mourners who are already there, crying out, the child has died. This girl, though, Jesus takes command and says, she's only sleeping. They laugh. She's dead. We know it. We saw it. She's dead. But she's only asleep, says Jesus. The Lord of life has come to slam the door on death and put it in its proper place. And so he does. The Lord Jesus, who defeated death by his own death and brought forth life, brings us life, forgiveness, salvation. By means of his cross and resurrection, we have life. That Jesus, the one who conquered sin, death, and hell, the one who up to this point in the gospel lesson has already shown his power over Satan, a legion who had been in this man who was afflicted and cast him out. Jesus, who showed his power and authority over the wind and the waves that overtook the boat with his disciples in it. Jesus here is about to slam the door on death. And he goes and he grabs her hand and says, "Child, arise. Arise." And so she does. She gets up at once. "Give her some food." Says Jesus, "A ghost doesn't need food. A human, flesh and blood, needs food." She's alive. Jesus restores this little girl back to life and gives her to his parents. In these two counts, we have seen such great suffering and hopelessness, but we see great hope. Great hope as those who trusted in Christ, and he shows them and us who he truly is. That he is the Lord of life, that he brings life and salvation. The woman and Jairus' daughter both encounter Jesus, and he brings them from illness and death to healing and life. They're saved. Indeed, faith in Jesus is the way anyone enters the family of God. Through baptism, you and I died and became alive in Christ. He gave us his Spirit so that we may truly trust and believe in this Lord of life. It's a theme of this Trinity or Pentecost season that we begin to see God spreading the gospel through his church, throughout the world, and bringing people, rather, into his church. People who are broken, people who are hurting, people who would be outside of God's people, and he brings them in, just as he brought you in as well. Just as he desires that all people from every tribe and every language, every people to himself, that all would trust, like that woman who grabbed the tassel, or Jairus, "Please help me, my daughter's about to die." That like them, we would have faith in Christ and have life. God grant each such a faith and a hope as that woman who was healed from her affliction in our gospel today, that we would take hold of Jesus by faith and cling to him each day, the one who has broken death's embrace and torn away its sting, who restores to life our mortal race and will raise us, our risen King. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.